Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you...
Consider 'tis the time of good cheer. Herewith a seasonal tale of mornings crisp by dewfrost, burgeoning holly trees, and all the innocent excitement of impending Yuletide festivities. Alternately, if it's the height of summer right now where you are, do please use your imagination instead, although in our climate there's no guarantee it's not freezing cold in July. Anyway, one reaches a stage in life where its meaning is illuminated considerably by contemplating the works of great minds. And so, whilst musing on the philosophy of Descartes, I think, therefore I am. At least I think I am. I think. Actually, that's not what you think, but it is more accurately the thoughts of an acquaintance of mine, Dennis Descartes, currently resident in Ward 6, Tipton Respite for Retired Head Cases. And, aided only by the soft ambience of the cool evening, together with my copious consumption of Budweiser beers with Brasso chasers, don't try that at home, kids, I dreamt all of this up. But it doesn't make it any the less truthful, so settle in that armchair whilst I relate it to you, dear friends, and decide for yourselves as I whisk you on a journey through history to answer two of the most enigmatic questions ever posed in man's incessant search for knowledge. Namely, what is the origin of roses and castles on narrowboats, and why is there a fairy on the top of your Christmas tree? Listen and learn, my fellow conspirators. Listen and learn. Despite the trappings of fabulous wealth bestowed upon his dynasty by ownership of the sole banana-bending factory in the whole of the tiny Eastern European state of Spotifacia, young Xavier Moonstrut III sought only to lead a normal life, regardless of his being a hunchback midget with halitosis and prolapsed arches. A magical, enchanting kingdom, limited only by imagination, Spotifacia was the land that time forgot, and life for Xavier was idyllic. But she wanted more. His father, Xavier Moonstrut II, had been an avid collector and had accrued a sizeable compilation of works by Rembrandt and Stradivarius. Unfortunately, his judgment fell some way behind his enthusiasm, and too late did he learn of Rembrandt's inability to fashion a violin and Stradivarius's total incompetence with a brush. Worried that his inheritance was being squitted, Xavier tried one day to remonstrate with his father, who was in one of his curious dressing up and drinking phases. Adorned in miner's boots, silk stockings, figure-hugging basque, and a gas mask, he chastised his child with, "We're not all mad, you know," before consuming a gallon tin of varnish. "A horrible suffering, but a beautiful finish," the mortician commented dryly, and that was that. But art was in the boy's blood, and so Xavier decided to develop his skills at painting. Yet what to paint? Inspiration came in the form of a long, narrow vessel, unadorned and unlovely, emerging from the underground stores with its precious cargo of yellow sticks, on their way to be bent to the regulation angle. A chill afternoon, as winter approached, saw Xavier sitting at the side of a boat, gazing abroad for ideas. The family castle, with its turrets and moat, appeared beautiful but barren in the dank afternoon. "Eureka!" he exclaimed, in a flash of genius, which, little did he know, would influence the boat world for centuries to come. "I will brighten this craft with gaily adorned castles to remind me of the mellow morns of summer, and I will imbue them with that most quintessential of summer flowers, the rose." At that precise sublime moment, his ecstasy was stymied by the arrival of a former cross-dressing acquaintance of his deceased father, attired in a frock, with a crown resting on his head and a pair of cellophane wings on his back and a wand. "Hello, Xavier," said the newcomer. "I've been out all day selling Christmas trees, and I've only got this one left. Where do you think I could stick it?" So now you know, dear friends, how roses and castles came to be painted on your boat, and also why the fairy sits on top of your Christmas tree. Merry Christmas from all in Ward 6.
hand. They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll...